Today, British Prime Minister David Cameron, fresh off last week's visit to Washington, released his latest budget proposal, and it cuts the tax rate of Britain's wealthiest citizens. Now, in his first 2 years in office, Cameron, Britain's first Conservative Prime Minister since 1997, made slashing government spending a priority. Britain's economy has not responded. It's been stagnant. And our next guest says women especially are starting to feel the pain of the cuts in government spending. And Britons are beginning to look across the pond wondering if there are lessons from U.S. stimulus spending. Beth Gardner is an American freelance reporter for the International Herald Tribune. She lives in London. And Beth, you've been blogging about how, as an American, you're amazed at the play centers for children in cities and towns across England. They're called Sure Start Centers. They were a flagship achievement of Tony Blair's Labour government. And now some of them are being closed because of cuts. So what are they? Are they different from Head Start here in the U.S.?
They're different from Head Start because they include more services. They have drop-in play centers where you can go with a child. We would pay 50 pence, about 75 cents, for a cup of tea and a few cookies, and you could hang out for 2 or 3 hours with your 1, 2, 3-year-old. And it would just usually be like a nice bright room with some toys and some paints and some other parents to chat to. They also have all sorts of other services for families, anything from breastfeeding advice to quitting smoking.
Wow.
Really a pretty wide range of services. I would say the other difference to a Head Start is that while Head Start is pretty specifically targeted at disadvantaged people, Sure Start is a little bit broader. In fact, that's been one of the criticisms of it, you know, sort of subsidizing middle-class people to come in and let their child play when they could pay to do that somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that really struck me, I live in London, which is a pretty densely populated area. So within a 10-minute walk of, 15-minute walk of where I live, we'd have about 6 different places where we could go and do a playgroup. And most of them were free or very, very inexpensive. And I'm pretty sure in New York, where I lived before I came here, there was nothing like that.
Well, and it sounds fantastic, especially for families that have maybe 2 parents working, all these services.
Yeah.
But I can just hear critics saying, oh, you know, talk about a metaphor for the nanny state. You know, it is government subsidized. And you started to notice they were being shuttered.
It's not a uniform policy across the country because they're all run by different municipalities. And in many places, the localities are, if not cutting them, then consolidating, reshaping the services, offering a little bit less.
Well, and we should say that it wasn't as if it was, you know, you said there were some fees. People did have to apply. There was a waiting list for some of the services.
Yeah, the child care is not free. You pay a fee for it. You often have to be on a waiting list in order to get your child a spot in the daycare center. In many cases, though, the fee could be quite a lot less than at a private for-profit daycare center. And a lot of the parents that I've spoken to actually found the provision of care to be higher quality. They said the staff are better trained.
Well, you also did some research on, you know, 2-parent families in Britain, and you found that they spend a third of their net incomes on childcare more than in any other wealthy country, and there is private daycare. So these, you know, reduced fees for government-subsidized centers was probably very appreciated. One was closed in your town, but you also heard of one that was closed in Manchester in the north of England. And you spoke to someone there, Jennifer Bradshaw. Just tell us a little bit about how these child centers had helped her.
Well, I went up to Manchester a few weeks ago. I met with Jennifer and several other moms there. She is a young woman with 3 small boys. She's pregnant with her 4th. She works part-time in a supermarket, and her fiancé, longtime partner, is a garbage man. They're really, really struggling to make ends meet. In fact, they're not making ends meet. Her youngest son, who's 2, has been going to the Sure Start Center daycare down the street. She just couldn't say enough to me about how valuable that had been to her. She just felt that they were so warm and caring when she was struggling with her other young son, who was a baby at home. They would give her a phone call and check in, see how she was doing. Now she's worried about them because a bunch of them are probably going to lose their jobs when this center is closed.
Well, and when the centers are closed, women who could work can't. But we hear that we hear that story here in the United States as well, you know, that you know, people have to make a choice between a child care and staying home from work to care for your child if you can't afford it. And you say that you found that women are being hit disproportionately by these government cutbacks. How so?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting thing that's been coming to light over the last year or year and a half as these cuts have been really sort of starting to hit the ground. in this country, two-thirds of public sector workers. In the UK, that includes healthcare, it includes education. Two-thirds are women. Number two, women are more heavily reliant on public services and public subsidies than men are. In the UK, there are tax credits for childcare, housing subsidies for people who can't afford housing, other forms of welfare spending. One of the women's groups here estimated that 70% of the government benefit payments that are being cut are coming from women. Single mothers, particularly hard hit there. Number three is something that people call the care gap. When you cut back some of these services, whether it's child care, care for the elderly, it does tend to be women who pick up the slack. You know, one of the economists I spoke to said that when you roll back the state, you hit women.
Well, and of course, David Cameron's government does have an eye on bankrupt countries, Greece and Italy.
Yes.
But there is, as you know, a debate over cut, you know, go to austerity or spend now to sort of reverse a downward slide. And that's where the domestic policies of Barack Obama and David Cameron are sharply different. What's the view from Britain of that? Here in the U.S., the fight is to, you know, push more stimulus, a huge debate over that here. But after the stimulus plans, which, you know, were not perfect by any means, there has been some economic recovery. What's the view from Britain?
Well, you know, it certainly has been, as you say, a very clear policy choice on behalf of the Cameron government. Certainly there's a lot of people out there who are saying, what are these budget cuts about? You know, the bankers still seem to be doing well and living high, and it's the people at the bottom, the supermarket workers and the garbage collectors, like the family I was telling you about, that are really feeling the pain. One of the things that Cameron and his chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, say a lot is, we're all in this together. That's the phrase they're trying to sort of spread the pain. A lot of people question whether that really is the case.
Well, meanwhile, you write about some families in Manchester who are fighting the cuts at the Sure Start centers. And in fact, they seem to have had a little bit of a victory. They pushed aside a plan to close one of the centers, although the government is saying they still intend to gradually end the center's daycare provisions. But, you know, people seem to be fighting.
Yeah, well, in Manchester, they certainly did. And I was talking on the phone to quite a few different women. And I think a lot of the families now are sort of waiting to see how things pan out. I don't think they feel completely confident yet in the future of the Sure Starts, but they're waiting and seeing.
Beth Gardner, an American living in London. She is a freelance reporter for the International Herald Tribune. Beth, thanks so much.
Great. Nice to talk to you.